Welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day, the 30th of March, 2019. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, joining us on the recording, listening to WLMR Radio. Glad to have you all with us in fellowship today. We have a very important sermon to go over. It's actually the final part in our series, An Unknown Thief. And so let us get right into our service. Our opening song is titled, Is Your All on the Altar? And those who know this wonderful hymn, please take a verse. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all must lay. Is your all on the altar sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings of which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body.
Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. That's what Christ is asking for, a complete surrender of your heart to Him. And if you do so, if you deny self, if you choose to follow His way, then you will indeed have sweet rest and peace that passeth understanding. And it means everything to have that internal peace that can keep you steadfast and immovable when everything around you is in turmoil and distress. But only if you give Christ your whole heart. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our sacrifice. We pray that Thy presence will continue to be with us, to grace this meeting as well as our hearts, with Yourself in the atmosphere of love and peace and joy and contentment and light that surrounds You and Your throne. Dear Savior, we ask that You will please come and dwell with us, and please take the throne of each heart that has opened the door to let You in, and indeed give us this peace and sweet rest, dispelling all darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of light and truth and righteousness that You give. And dear Spirit, we also pray that Thy presence will be here to prick our hearts, to lead and guide us, to open our understanding, our comprehension. Please reveal to us what sins and wrongs we have registered against our names in our record book of heaven. Help us to humbly acknowledge these, confess and repent of these, and to follow the light, to follow our Savior wherever He leads the way, and to never leave Him for something else, because everything else is unworthy. Everything else will lead to our destruction, but only Christ will lead to salvation and to true happiness. And thank You, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst. I also pray that You'll be with all of those who were unable to attend. Please continue working in their lives, and it would be wonderful to have them come back in fellowship with us. We also pray for those who have asked prayers, and please hear and answer their petitions and requests according to Thy perfect will and timing. Especially be with those requesting healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, and thank You for doing so. And please continue to fill this dark world with the light of life, with the loud cry and the latter rain. And thank You, dear Spirit, for filling this dark world with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Please continue working with each one of us and help us to humbly submit to be guided and led by You and the truth, and not cavil or come up with excuses to avoid following the truth. And thank You that we're a day closer to the coming of our Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And I have just one announcement before we get into our sermon. The one announcement is next Sabbath, that'd be April the 6th. Boy, already into April. Next Sabbath, April the 6th, we're going to be having foot washing and communion. So please come prepared for that. Next Sabbath, April the 6th. So this is part 5 of our series, An Unknown Thief, and this is the last part in our series. And last time we understood that we're to give away our tithes to faithful ministers who are ministering and preaching the present truth. And we're not to use this sacred tithe money ourselves. But we also saw that we cannot just give God's tithe money to anyone who claims to be preaching God's present truth for these last days. But we have to do our first work, and that is to know the present truth for ourselves, and then after knowing it, we can test all the messages and the positions of the different so-called ministers and ministries by the Bible and the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. And this is the only sure way to know and to understand if these ministers and ministries and churches are really standing for and preaching the complete message of present truth, or if they're just preaching partial truth, truth mixed with error. And if we find that any minister or church is refusing to publicly preach 100% of the whole gospel message of present truth today, which is Christ's righteousness as well as the church's Babylon fallen and all must separate from her, if they're refusing to preach a whole gospel, then they should not receive God's sacred tithe money. Otherwise, if you give them tithe knowing that they don't preach a full gospel, then you would be supporting error with God's sacred tithe, which would make you guilty of misusing God's sacred money, and you would be stealing from God by doing so. Now, we then discovered that in addition to your tithes, you should also be giving God free will offerings and gifts, and if you're not doing so, then you are guilty of robbing God and committing sin. And giving offerings in addition to your tithes will, of course, require self-denial and sacrifice in order to comply with God's will. But what a blessing will be realized by your unselfish giving and sacrifice. And you really can never outgive God. So we've so far discovered how we can rob God in both tithes as well as offerings. But how can we rob God in the third main area, which is in service? And this is what we'll be investigating into today. And those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1970.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1970.htm. And if you look at quote number 1, how can we rob God in service? And I find that there's three different main areas where we can rob God in service. And the first is involving our mind. The second is involving our energy and strength. And the third is areas involving our usefulness. So let's look at the first. How can we steal from God in areas involving our mind? And we would do so by not devoting some of our time in prayerful study and contemplation of His word of truth. And the stealing aspect of this is that by not spending some time in prayerful study of God's word each day, then you would not be able to grow into the full stature of a man or woman or child in Christ Jesus. And since you would not be spending as much time with God as a Christian should, then you would not be growing closer to God as a Christian needs to. And not growing closer to God, you would also not be increasing in spiritual and practical knowledge as a Christian must. So this means that you would be guilty of stealing away from God, not only your time, but also robbing away from Him the close affection and the bond of union that He could have had with you, as well as your ability to more intelligently and effectively communicate with God. So if you discover that you're guilty of stealing from God in this area of service of your mind, then what should you do? We're told in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Also in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And we definitely do not want to be cast off from God forever. Also in Isaiah 26, verse 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So that's how we can steal from God in the areas of our mind. But how can we steal from God in the areas involving our energy and strength? And if you look at quote number 2, we would steal from God by not devoting some of our time in service to God. And the stealing aspect is that by not spending some time in serving God, then you'd be guilty of stealing away from Him the increase in benefit which His precious cause of truth could have obtained through your energetic and strong efforts. And this would mean that because of your lack of help, God's cause would be further delayed from accomplishing its purpose of filling this earth with His glory. So if you find that you're guilty of stealing from God in this area of not using your energy and strength in service to Him, then what are you to do? In Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13, And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. In Psalms 100, verses 2 to 3. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And then in 1 Samuel 12, verses 24 to 5. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be consumed. So dear ones, I pray that each one of us will realize that as we serve the Lord with all our strength and energy, that God will then strengthen us more and more with his divine power so that more marvelous things will be accomplished in righteousness. So as God sees that we're faithful to serve him with our energy and strength, then he will give us greater energy and strength to serve him more. And if you look at quote number 3 from 2 Samuel 22, verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Also from Psalm 68, verse 35. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. So that's how we can steal from God in areas involving our energy and strength. But how can we steal from God in areas involving our usefulness? And if you look at quote number 4, we would do so by not devoting some of our time in unselfish service and ministering to others in good works. And the stealing aspect is by not spending some time in service and ministering to others, then you would not be a true co-worker with God, and neither would you be truly yoked together with Christ. So this means that you would be guilty of stealing away from God his right to use you in reaching out to others and manifesting his love for them. And you would also be guilty of robbing away from others the happiness, the comfort, and the relief that your unselfish actions could have brought them. We're told in Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And the Bible has quite a lot to say regarding this particular issue of usefulness. So if you see that you're guilty of stealing from God in this area of service toward others, and through this lack of these good works, you're denying God, then what should you do about this? In Titus 3, verse 8 and 14, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We're told in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 to 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In Titus 2, verses 6 to 8, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 to 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And in Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. In other words, do good works to others and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in fact, it is this very issue of maintaining good works that's one reason why God gave us the Bible in the first place. We're told in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Bible was given to us so that we may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, having the foundation of the correct doctrine of truth, being corrected of all our errors, being reproved for our sinful actions, and being instructed in righteousness. All those things would lead us to be thoroughly furnished with all good works to others. So that's the third area, how we can steal from God in areas of usefulness. And if you look at quote number 5, if we're faithful to God in this area of usefulness, and we indeed maintain good works, then what will be the result? In Matthew 5:16, we're told, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In James 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So maintaining good works allows God to be glorified, which in turn allows more people to become aware of God and the free salvation that he offers them. And so this means that you're living the light of truth, bringing good works through your actions to others, is leading them directly to God. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So when we let our light shine, it's also through good works. Not just by sharing the truth, but also by kind deeds. And that combination of giving the truth connected with kind deeds will lead them directly to God and glorify him. So then if we know these things, what should we do? And we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 4. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And in James 1, verse 22 to 5. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But I want you to also realize, dear ones, that this entire section on serving God in all these areas greatly depends upon your health. If you're not keeping all 8 laws of health, but are disregarding some or perhaps all the laws of health, then you will not be able to serve God to the best of your mental ability. You'll not be able to serve God to the best of your energy and strength or to the best of your usefulness and in kind deeds to others. So then, by not being careful in what you eat or in all that you do, then you would be guilty of robbing God as well as others of all that you could have accomplished for them, but couldn't accomplish because you lack the mental or physical health and energy to do it. And may God forgive you as well as all of us, and then grant each one of us the extra determination and strength to deny self and to follow each one of the 8 laws of health. That way, we will give to God a perfect sacrifice, well-pleasing unto him, as well as to others. And if you look at quote number 6, if you will indeed do your best and maintain your health with the goal of being able to better serve God as well as to serve others, then God will indeed bless all your efforts. He'll strengthen you to be able to do more for him in righteousness, and he will also work to keep you in as healthy a condition as possible. We're told in Exodus 15, verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. In Isaiah 55, verse 2, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, in other words, good food, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And the result is, let your soul delight itself in fatness. In Proverbs 3, verses 7 to 8, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if we do so, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In Exodus 23, verse 25 and 6, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. What blessings are promised to us on condition of obedience? Blessings of health, life, energy, and all for the purpose of helping one another as well as ourselves. Also in Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 11, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, in other words, evil surmising of others, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then in Psalms 43, verses 2 and 5. Thou art the God of my strength, who is the health of my countenance. So these are all the areas that we can steal from God in our mind, in our energy and strength, and also in our usefulness. But as thou shalt not steal, as the word steal there doesn't mean just to rob, but it also means to deceive. So we've seen how we can steal from God, but now how can we deceive God and break this eighth commandment? And if you look at quote number 7, it's actually impossible for anyone to deceive God. And this is because God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time. And God is also omniscient, which means that he's all-knowing. And thus it's impossible to hide anything from him. It's impossible to deceive God. We're told in Jeremiah 23:24, Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And also in Genesis 16:13, Thou, God, seest me. So it's impossible to deceive God in any way. But there's human beings who believe that they can somehow hide their thoughts or their words and actions away from God's notice, and all in the hope of trying to get away unpunished in their sins. But as it's impossible to fool God, then this means that there's a lot of self-deceived individuals that are in grave danger of being forever lost unless they wake up and repent. In Isaiah 29, verse 15, Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? God knows, and you're not getting away with anything, even though there may not be another human being who sees or understands what you're guilty of. God sees and understands. And it would be so much better to acknowledge this and repent to God now instead of waiting till it's too late and God exposes your sin before everyone, when repentance won't help you. So today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Now, after we've investigated into all five of these main areas and how we can steal from God, how we can steal by breaking his commandment, let's stop being commandment breakers. Let's stop deceiving and robbing and stealing in any way, in any area, either from the world or from one another or from the messengers, workers, ministers, and ministries of God, or from ourselves, and especially from God. Let's stop breaking God's commandment. Let's instead do all that we possibly can to live by every word of God and to keep this eighth commandment perfectly, of course, only through the grace and strength that God gives us. And that way we'll be found hid in Christ, covered with his precious robe of righteousness, and also have the privilege to possibly make up one of the 144,000 who follow the Lord perfectly. We look at quote number 8 in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 2. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So Christ did not commit sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. And we're also told this about another group of people in Revelation 14, verses 1 to 5. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault, in other words, without sin, before the throne of God. Now, when you look up the Greek word for guile in this text, it's dolos, D-O-L-O-S. And this Greek word translates and means a trick, deceit, guile, subtlety. And that's Strong's Greek word number 1388. So these two texts reveal to us that Jesus nor the 144,000 have anything to do with guile. They do not subtly trick or deceive anyone. They do not steal away the truth and break this eighth commandment, because they are without fault before God, without sin. And the 144,000 have learned how to avoid all robbery, all theft, all deception in any form or area, because they followed the perfect example of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and they will continue following him whithersoever he goeth throughout eternity. Dear ones, is it your desire to be part of the 144,000? Then you must begin now following the Lamb of God and not having guile in your mouth, in your actions, in your writings. You need to be without fault, without sin, before the throne of God. And this is only possible through the grace and strength and cleansing blood, merits and righteousness of our Savior. It is possible to live without sin, to live without stealing and breaking God's commandments. Jesus showed us how. Enoch walked with God perfectly 300 years. It's possible. And there's going to be 144,000 living saints proving it's possible. Will you be one of them? I sincerely pray that each and every listening soul will determine to strive with all the strength that God has given them to be one of the 144,000. And this can begin today by determining no longer to steal or deceive or break this eighth commandment in any area, and thus avoid becoming an unknown thief. And this is my prayer. Praise God, dear ones, for His word of life. And thank you, Jesus, for guiding us each step of the way to that life. Are you willing to sacrifice, dear ones? Are you willing to trust and obey? And our closing song is Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a blessed trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can probe the delights of His love until all on the favor He shows. For the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. Be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet. Oh, we walk by His side in the way. What He said we will do,
Where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen, dear ones. And Jesus makes it possible, not just for our obedience, but also for our trusting in him, because he first trusted in God, showed us the way. And may we indeed determine not to have our own way, but to follow the way of God, and truly have that internal peace that passeth understanding. To have the favor and the blessings of God, and in turn use these to favor and bless one another. And thus more glory will be given to God. And in turn we'll have more blessings to bestow on others, which just increases glorifying God. And pretty soon the whole world will be filled with his glory. What a privilege to be a co-laborer with God, all because of our choice to trust his word and obey. And shall we pray? Precious Father, we thank you so very much for giving us thy word of life written down and in a language we can understand. Even a child among us can understand your word. Father, forgive us for not following your word more closely, more lovingly, more completely. And please help us to overcome our desire to avoid following your word. But help us to put self down and to follow the light, no matter how small it might be. Because in a dark room that we're unfamiliar with, the smallest bit of light will lead us to the switch to turn it on and have a greater amount of light. Help us to appreciate even the smallest rays, because by following these, we will be set more and more free from darkness. Come more and more closer to our Savior and farther away from self, from Satan and destruction. Give us this light of life. Give us Jesus. And help us to follow him so closely that we can be part of the 144,000, not being unknown thieves anymore, but truly having no guile in our lives, our words, our thoughts or actions. Father, we desire your seal upon us, not the mark of the beast, not the mark of Cain, your seal, the mark of holiness to the Lord. And thank you, Jesus, for making it possible as we follow the Lamb, whithersoever you lead the way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God for his word of life. What would we do without it? I shudder to think. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs? Anything else that you'd like to share? And again, please remember next Sabbath is foot washing and communion. So please come prepared.
Dear Elder Rob and everyone, during our children's Sabbath school lesson from last Sabbath, there was a section on slide number 12 of our Desire of Ages study where they had some small quotes. And it was lengthy because of time. We couldn't do it. And I did promise that this particular Saturday with the review, I was going to read it, but the time that we had was, over. So is it okay for me to be able to read it? Cause it also, it goes with a little bit of the study that we have with the youth and also with the children's story. Is it okay? Okay, in this section where it says Psalms 106, verse 34 through 43. Verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, 35, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, 36, and they served their idols which were near unto them, 37. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, 38, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood, 39. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went out whoring with their own inventions, 40. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, and so much that he abhorred his own inheritance. 41. And he gave them into the hands of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. 42. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hands. And 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. I find it interesting, even when we decided to read it a little bit later, it was talking concerning Caiaphas, that even though he had made a statement that he'd rather one man to die than the whole nation, it had mentioned that that didn't come from anything biblical. It actually came by his belief and practice of his hidden knowledge that he had actually learned. And that's the same thing that will happen. When people leave the word of God and the spirit of prophecy, whatever eventually take a hold of their life is the way how they will counsel, give decision, and even invent certain condition to be able to justify their meaning as well. I just wanted to share that.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. And just to give a little further insight in that, the heathen, you know, of course, the devil has a counterfeit gospel. So he takes the real gospel and he twists it to take individuals away from looking to Christ down to looking to mankind. And what the heathen believed all the way back to Babylon is that there was a God who sacrificed himself in the creation of mankind. But they believed that mankind took part of this sacrificed God as their own. So in each human being, they had a part of this God within. So each human being was immortal from this God who sacrificed himself to give life to mankind. So you can see the idea of pantheism. God is in everything, including human beings, and how they connect with God is to look within. Whereas the gospel of the Bible is there's nothing in mankind that is holy. We have to look away from ourselves to our Creator who gave us life. So when Caiaphas said it's good that one man perish so that all the nation doesn't perish, that came from the heathen belief that there needed to be a God, one person die so that mankind could have life. But it was the paganistic view of the, you know, the counterfeit gospel instead of the correct biblical view of the real gospel. So thank you, dear sister, for bringing that out. We have to go outside of ourselves to Jesus Christ because we cannot find a God within. We can only find a God outside, which means self has to die that Christ can live. So, amen. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments?
It's funny how Caiaphas said that because even in whatever the theology that he was trying to speak, Jesus was that one person who died to save the nation.
Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I wanted to sing that scripture song because I wanted to share my experience, have a testimony that I had promised earlier that I was going to share. I had asked everyone to pray for me because I had jury duty on the 25th, which was the Monday. I was kind of a little bit concerned because I didn't know if I was going to be chosen to be part of the jury because I was wondering what was going to do with my father in case that you have to serve more than one day. So by God's grace, this is the first time that I had went that far. The first time that I was served back like almost like 9 years ago, we were just in the middle of the main floor where they have everybody there, and they used to call you by last name, and my last name in my full name is Williams. So by the time they get to me, they already had chose the juror. But this time was different. This time it was random. So when I got there, I first have to give you the whole view of how the Lord really takes care of you. I was so worried about what was going to happen that day because once you go in, you don't know how long you're going to remain. So I was thinking about my father's meal and, you know, just cooking in general. So I prepared the whole day meal the day before. I was preparing for everybody and forgot myself. I didn't take nothing with me. And I know how long you have to stay. So when I had went in at the beginning, we went so early, and there was a gentleman that had walked up to me and he said, I don't know why they actually chose me because I take a lot of medication and I don't know the language. And I know how long I'm going to be here, but, you know, I brought a banana. And then he says, do you want the banana? So at the time that he said that, I just kind of was registering on, I take a lot of medication, you know, he don't know how this. So I was so concentrating on what he was saying, I didn't realize that the Lord was offering me the banana. Because he just happened to just pull it out and he said, you know, I know we're going to be here long enough, but, you know, I bought a banana. Do you want a banana? And then I said, no, thank you. So while we were all sitting, waiting at the time, the name was actually called random, never knowing that from that building we was going to walk away from the building that we were summoned to another building. So we went from 360 Adam all the way to 320 J Street. And I didn't know it was a Supreme Court case. I can't go into detail because I don't want anybody calling me, but the only thing that I just can say is that when we did do the walking over, it was cold, and they said the weather was going to be a little bit nice, but it wasn't where we were. It started to be really cold, and I was impressed to take my sneakers. If I would not take my sneakers, I would have really felt it. So we went to the other building. Now the area was a little bit familiar, because now I know why it was so different when we went to 360. It's because the first time I was summoned, we went to that particular building. So while we were there waiting, now they started to call everyone. At the very moment that I came in with the group that we was coming, there was a lady that was sitting next to me. And the Lord just allowed her to be able to start a conversation, and it was about health. She was talking about, she was a heavy smoker, and she drinks a lot of Coca-Cola. And she was just talking about what is really happening to her. And I took the opportunity to kind of share with her the little bit that I know concerning that what can be able to kind of help in the sense of kicking these type of addictive habit. Ashwagandha is one of the things then that I know it helps. So anyway, as we were talking, I started to give her, I don't know why I started to talk about that. I was concerned because I don't know if they choose me, I don't know what I'm going to do with my dad. Not knowing that talking about my dad was going to be a way for her to see how powerful the Lord is when you give yourself willingly to do the changes in your diet, because he was able to see my father from the very beginning to where he is now, and how the changes of diet and things like that, that made her to be able to kind of trust a little bit more to get the information. So as we was changing information, I gave her also my missionary card that has the information about, you know, the third angel's message and things like that. And I was trying my best not to leave anywhere, because I didn't want it to be completely removed from where I was. So when they called me first, she was trying to also give me a little bit of, because she had already served many years ago, so she was kind of helping me to understand what was going to happen. But I was called first. So when I was called, they separated us and we went to another room. I have never been this far in serving. So now that we are in this room, I see her coming in after me, and this is when our officer came in and said, okay, this is where we are going to begin to be able to choose the juror. So right now you are waiting to see the judge. So I was like, oh boy, this is really going to happen. So at that moment, I just decided to go to use the restroom. So I told the lady, can she hold my bag? So when I went to the restroom and I came back, everybody was gone. And the lady was gone with my bag as well. And the bag that I had is all the evidence with what I have been doing with my father and everything. So at that moment, I came to the, and a door was open, and I told the lady, I'm sorry, my group just left, and I don't have no idea what they went, because I just kind of ran out. I waited until when she gave all the explanation, and then after decided to go, because I don't know how long it's going to take. So she said, oh, I'm so sorry. You need to go back into the large room. So I said, Lord, there is no way I'm going backwards, so I'm going to have to go forward. So I said, ma'am, I already know that this group was supposed to see the judge right now. And she said, what's your name? So she took my whole name. She goes back in, and she said, okay, you need to go to the 21st floor. So I decided to go. Praise God, when I went up to the 21st floor, here I see the lady sitting down with my bag. And she said, you know, I'm so glad you gave me your card, because your card had your phone number and you definitely was going to get that bag back. So as we were sitting down now, I'm starting to become really nervous now, because they came back out and they said, well, okay, we are going to bring everybody in. You cannot use your phone. You cannot do the text. You cannot do... Well, basically, there was no communication with no one. We went into the room. The judge, the actual person that was going to be prosecuted was there. The defenders, everybody was there, like if it was actually the what was going to happen. So I was trying my best not to be able to concentrate too much on the individual that was being persecuted because he was pretty young. He was very young. And I know that I'm very sympathetic in certain things. So I just wanted to focus what it is that I was supposed to do. So the Lord allowed me to look up, and there in on top of the judge, it says, "In God we trust." So I said, that's a good focus for me to be able to focus on. So I just kept my eyes in God we trust, in God we trust. So at that moment, when she explained the whole thing, the defender spoke, the prosecutor spoke, the judge spoke, and it was so drooling for what we had to do. It comes to the point where she said, y'all can go out to lunch now, and then y'all come back. When we went downstairs, and I was with the lady still, I was so hungry. I was looking to see, where am I going to eat? A lot of places is not catered for vegetarian. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to eat. So what I see on the side across the street, a Starbucks. So I said, I'm not going to let the lady go in there and be tempted to take coffee because, you know, she said she had a coffee problem. So I decided to disregard the Starbucks and just walk a little bit further and try to look for the food. When we came back and we were sitting, this lady came and she was sitting next to me, and she had a sandwich. You could smell the health of the sandwich, the bread and the lettuce and everything. So I kept telling her, where did you got that sandwich? She says, oh, at the Starbucks. Oh, do you know that they cater for vegetarians? So then I said, oh, wow, here I am trying to save the lady. And the only place that had the food that I could have ate is the same place. So then the lady woke up. They had a Starbucks. I should have got coffee. I should have got, and I said, thank you, Lord, because by sacrificing for her not to go there, at the time I started to be able to, you know, like really my stomach started to go. So then they call us in. So I was picked to be a juror. I was juror number 7, the first group. So while I was sitting here, I take my eyes and look back to the focus, in God we trust, in God we trust. Everyone was giving, well, she want to know a little bit for, like, everybody's, you know, what they do and where they live. This is when my life really came before me, and I didn't know how to be able to put it in words. When she got to me, she said, say your full name, you know, where you live, and so then I said to myself, oh, boy, that's going to be really tough now because where do I live? I said, well, I live wherever it is that the Lord had me working on at the very time. What do you do? And I said, I'm a missionary. So then when I was sitting down, I said to myself, wow, I never knew how serious this situation was in my life until when I had to talk about it. So when I was told, you know, what was her name, where I live, and then I was saying to myself, the address where I get all my information, and I was saying, where is it? And the Lord reminded me, Crown Heights. Even the thought that I didn't know, the Lord brought about, even the area where it was, Crown Heights. But I'm right now by my sister helping my dad, but also I'm in Ohio helping also our dear sister that she's a teacher. So we finished all of that. Now they started to tell us a little bit of the case. And then there was, the prosecutor says, well, this individual was charged with so-and-so. So do you think that you have anything in your life that can be able to intervene for you to be able to judge, you know, right and give him the chance? So they say, if there's anything that you had experienced where somebody had done something wrong to someone that you love or someone to you that you actually have a hard time doing the jury duty. And I just remember that I couldn't do this because I had to let them know that my fiancé was murdered 8 days after my engagement. And I didn't know how it was going to affect me. You don't know until when these things them is right in front of your face. So the judge said, I am so sorry, you know, and everybody was kind of talking about it. So Then the prosecutor, one of them said, "So I'm sorry, what's your name?" So they told me, "How should I call you?" So then I said, "You're going to have to call me the full name that I was actually given for my citizenship." So he said, "Okay, Charles Williams. Do you think that you're going to have a problem? I'm so sorry for what happened to your loss, but do you think you're going to be fair with this gentleman because of what he did?" And the only thing I remember was the Ten Commandments. And I said, the same way how I would like done unto me, because that young man could be my son, it could be me. So that means if anything, if I was in the same position and someone was supposed to judge, I don't want them to judge me based on the experience they had, but based on the evidence. So after when they had actually said that, in the moment that I was answering, just thinking about, they removed the Ten Commandments from the court, but we as Christian, we have a responsibility to still bring the Ten Commandments up to bring about who is the only one that can judge them. So I just wanted to share that because of, I guess, the fine or what it is that was known about me and the situation with my past, that's how I was not chosen. This court case was going to be 8 day and even more. And I didn't know what I was going to do with my father. So thank you for the prayers, dear one. Sorry that it was so long, but I just wanted to be able to show how in every part of the experience that day, the Lord was actually a blessing in each one of the area. So I just wanted to share that. Sorry for taking so much time.
Amen, dear sister, and praise God that his perfect will was accomplished, and in lifting him up and sharing his law, you were excused from the court case. Oh, it must have been, well, no need to go into assumptions, but praise God that you were excused and can be back with your father and taking care of him. God be praised. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments, questions, songs, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share? And please go right ahead.
We would like to share a testimony, short testimony. Last year, a neighbor of our property did a earth
movement.
No, a ground motion with a bulldozer in his property, and we were affected by that work. Some problems with him for the refaction of our part of which was affected. We couldn't conciliate with him, and this case was to the court. And next Thursday, the judge is going to make a decision about the problem. So we will let you pray for this for this audience, that we could get a good, or we could resolve this situation, and we would like you pray for it, and we could finish this problematic situation with neighbor.
Amen, and thank you for sharing the situation, dear brother, and we will indeed be keeping it in prayer. I sympathize and empathize with you regarding troublesome neighbors and court cases involved, and I can tell you that God is well able to allow the decision to be exactly what it needs to be. And God will never never allow the decision to be other than what he desires. And there are several promises that you can claim in this. Job 5:12, Psalms 33:10, Psalms 140:8, Proverbs 22:12, 10:24, and 21:1. All of those are promises in which God will prevent the devil from obtaining his way. And even Proverbs 22:21:1, where God will steer the heart of the judge. It says king in the text, but the king was a ruler. Steer the heart of the judge or the ruler in the direction where God wants the decision to be made. So, in fact, let us have prayer now for that situation. And also, Brother Jim Snipes is also involved in a lawsuit with a troublesome neighbor as well. So, please keep him in prayer, but let us bow our heads. And precious Father, we thank you so very much for knowing all things. We thank you for allowing these tests and trials and turmoils and other things to occur, which we recognize that the devil is behind and involved in. And we thank you, Father, for being stronger than the devil. And we ask in the situation with the Garais as well as with the Snipes that you will take charge and control of the cases, and that you will allow your decision to be the decision of the judge, that truth and righteousness may prevail, and also that trust can be built in thee, recognizing that you're in control, that the devil is a defeated foe, and that you will rise to defend your people. So we leave these cases in your hands, dear Father, and thank you for letting thy perfect will be accomplished. And again, we claim the promises in Job 5:12, Psalms 33:10, Psalms 140:8, Proverbs 22:12, 10:24, and 21:1, that Satan will not be allowed to do anything in any way through any device or method to bring about a decision that is against your will, but that you will allow the decision to be exactly what you see is best. Thank you for the peace and the comfort these promises give us, and we can truly rest in your love. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So we will indeed be keeping it in prayer, dear Brother Santiago and Sister Anna Milena and also Anna Maria. And please let us know how everything goes after Thursday. Although the judge may make his decision, but he'll want to give his verdict in writing, so you may not know what it is until later. But we'll definitely be upholding it in our prayers. And thank you for letting us know. But praise God for his promises. Those verses have been a comfort to my heart and soul so many times. And it's really wonderful to just leave the burden at the feet of our Savior, knowing that whatever the outcome is exactly what it needs to be. But we know we're in the end of times, and if the devil can't get us involved in false doctrine, then he'll trouble us with bad neighbors, or he'll raise up some other situations to trouble us. But to praise God that he's in control, and we have nothing to fear. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Please go right ahead.
Lou and I are going to sing "'Tis the Blessed Hour of Prayer."
"'Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when our hearts lowly bend, and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to Him in faith, His protection to share, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer, blessed hour of prayer, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when the Savior draws near, with a tender compassion, His children to hear. When He tells us we may cast at His feet every care, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when the tempted and tried to the Savior who loves them their sorrows confide. With a sympathizing heart, He removes every care. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer, blessed hour of prayer, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. At the blessed hour of prayer, trusting Him we believe, that the blessings we're needing we'll surely receive. In the fullness of this trust, we shall lose every care. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer, blessed hour of prayer, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And prayer is blessed. Direct connection with the throne of grace and our Savior and Father. So, amen. Thank you, dear one. Oh, you want to sing a duet?
No, I don't care.
Oh. Okay. My beloved's here. We're going to pick a song and have a duet. Let me get it here just a second.
While you're picking your duet, I just wanted to say that a lot of times we walk through the valley of the shadow and we don't like it while we're there, but God always works it out for the good of others, because I doubt whether all of those verses, those promises would have been in your mind had you not walked that same way some time ago.
Amen, dear sister. And that is exactly what God is trying to do when He allows these trials and turmoils and walking through the valley of the shadow of death to occur with us. It's all to lead us closer to Him and to build our faith. No. That He will take care of the situations. If we can just stay out of His way, then the best possible result will occur. But praise God that He knows what He's doing. Well, my beloved and I would like to sing Redeemed, but only one verse. And whoever else would like to take a verse Please go right ahead. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no lingers my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doeth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Is it verse number
3? I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child of forever I am.
I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. Ensign with the saints made perfect, a home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen. Thank you for your beautiful singing and praising to God in song and in praise. Are there any other requests, any other songs, any other things that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
I'd like to sing this new hymn that I've been learning for quite a while. So. It was while I was doing homework. It's called God Will Make a Way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain, and He will do something new today. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercies, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. And thank you, too, for singing the song. It was beautiful. And what a blessed assurance it is that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And connected with him, we have nothing to fear. Amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other songs, any other things that you'd like to share before we close today's service? Please feel free to do so.
Yes, we want to sing a hymn in Spanish, but in English it is called Lead Them, My God to Thee, and it is for all the young people, the young brothers in this chat room, and I want to that you like it.
Guía a ti, Señor, guía a ti. Los hijos tiernos que me has dado a mí. Oh, por tu grande amor, guíalos, Dios, a ti. Guíalos, Dios, a ti, guíalos, sí. Cuando del mundo vean el esplendor, entonces guárdalos del tentador. De sus engaños, oh, guíalos, Dios, a ti, guíalos, Dios, a ti, guíalos, sí. Los niños a salvar vino Jesús. Y anduvo sin pecar hasta la cruz. Suplico por tu amor, guíalos, Dios, a ti. Guíalos, Dios, a ti, guíalos, sí. Aunque me falte fe, quiero creer que este precioso don quieres tener. Tiernos de corazón, hoy los devuelvo a ti. Guíalos, Dios, a ti, guíalos, sí.
Amen. Beautiful tune. I don't think I've ever heard that song before, including in Spanish. But praise God indeed. Well, while you were singing this, another hymn came to mind. And we've been talking about the trials and all that are coming to us. And Paul talks about whatever trials or circumstances befall you, to be happy. And that can be very difficult, to be happy when negative things are occurring. But it's the joy or the happiness of the Lord that is our strength. And this particular hymn is a good one to sing when undergoing trials and discouragements. Let our hearts be always cheerful. Why should murmuring enter there? When our kind and loving Father makes us children of His care. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around we see. Full of beauty is the path of duty. Cheerful we may always be.
With His gentle hand to lead us, should the powers of sin assail, He has promised grace to help us. Never can His promise fail. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around we see. Excuse me. All our beauty is the path of duty. Cheerful we may always be. Amen.
When we turn aside from duty, comes the pain of doing wrong, and the shadow creeping o'er us checks the rapture of our song. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around we see.
I don't know the song.
Beauty is the path of duty.
Cheerful we may always be.
Well, Elaine has a story for you.
When I was dental assistant, we had a lady come in. It's the only lady in all of my life. The term of description for her was hoity-toity. And that was a word we heard in grade school, and she was a music teacher. You didn't call her by her first name. You had to give her title, and I forget whether it was Mr. or Mrs., and you had to be very correct, polite, and everything else. And I always wondered, you know, how can I be a friend? And one day I told her, I said, I learned to play the piano, but I can only play hymns. And she said there was a song sung at a relative's funeral, and she didn't have the music for it. And she said, Sunrise Tomorrow. And I said, I think I know what song it is. And I went home and I got the book and I brought it to the office and I made a copy of the song to put into her chart. So the next time she came in, I'd give it to her. And when I gave that to her, after that, her whole attitude was totally different. And I've never forgotten the song. If you can do that, can change a person's attitude and you don't think you need it today. When I shall come to the end of my way, when I shall rest at the close of the day, when welcome home I shall hear Jesus say, oh, that will be sunrise for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow. Sunrise waiting, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise with Jesus for eternity. When in His beauty I see the green, joy with the ransom His praises to sing. When I shall join them my tributes to bring, oh, that will be sunrise for me.
Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise in glory is waiting for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise with Jesus for eternity. When life is over and daylight is past, in heaven's harbor my anchor is cast. When I see Jesus, my Savior, at last, oh, that will be sunrise for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise in glory is waiting for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise with Jesus for eternity.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for singing that wonderful hymn. First time I've heard that one. But thinking about the sunrise that's coming, that can bring a smile on your face. You know, God delivers his people at midnight. And, of course, midnight is several hours before the sun rises. And so you can imagine after God's deliverance, then Christ comes in the morning, the bright and morning star. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to share a scripture song for all of those that are going to go through difficulties with either neighbor or whatever it is that's going on in their life. Isaiah 40:31 and Isaiah 41:10.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hands of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And another scripture song comes to mind. Well, this is a different one. I lost that other one. I don't know where it went. But here's another one that comes to mind. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:1, 2, and 3. So having that memory verse What can men do unto us? What troubles can separate us from Christ? He's gone to prepare places for us, and he's coming again to take us home. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Well, dear ones, this has been a wonderful service. Is there one last song that you'd like to sing?
Yeah, I would like to sing a Spirit of Prophecy song. This particular scripture song, I mean, not scripture song, this Spirit of Prophecy quote was one of the first ones that really, I really loved it, and I didn't know what was the tune until way later now with the children's story. But I'm going to sing it the way how I was singing it when I first read the information. This one is taken from Christ Object Lesson, page 159, paragraph 3. Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak and Christ-like self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a where the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul. Thy love can flow through my soul.
Amen. Amen. And Christ will do that all for us if we give him our heart. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a blessed new week coming. And you're all in our prayers and thoughts. And thank you so much for your thoughts and prayers for us as well. So keep looking up, and we'll hope to see you in our next church service. So looking forward to that, dear ones. And Brother Dick, it's your turn.
Life has its joys and sorrows too. Sometimes a mist will hide our view. If we could hope and strength renew, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Also, if you have this book, this Gospel Melodies, which is from the 1940s, this is the only hymnal that song is written in. When I looked up hymnary, it just happened that we had a copy of it. So that's how we got the whole verses. And so you can go check your bookcase and see if you have one, because this is the, unless there's another songbook, and maybe they're in, maybe solo books or something like that, but this is the only book listed that has it in it.